Tales
of the Stupid.
Done. Done. Done!
So, to start off with, one of our little companions here managed to get his ass seriously hurt. Hurt enough that that's why he's been able to be with us from now on.
Fuck you!
So why don't you tell...
We're not going to mention his name.
Innocent. There are no innocent.
There are no names that will be mentioned.
Bus, go ahead. Mr. Mayhem, explain how you
fucked it up, man.
How you got your name, Mr. Mayhem.
God, you're actually going to make me tell this story, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Sure. Why not? Okay, well, it's a couple weeks ago now. As Uncle Dak has already said, I work security. This was around probably a little before 1 o'clock in the morning. I was just doing my regular patrols on a site that I was working at the time. And I heard some glass breaking. So I actually had the foresight to actually call somebody, another guard, over to the site before I went running over there. By the time I got to the store in general, again, names will not be mentioned, the person who had smashed the glass was currently inside stealing whatever he was planning on stealing.
Which, what was it? Was,
he had,
I don't think
yeah,
it matters.
He had a tote full of stuff.
Yeah, he had a tote full of stuff. It was like this big Rubbermaid container, clear plastic container full of stuff, right? And, so I just basically waited for him to come out of the store, and, saw that he actually had this bin in both hands, so it was a grand opportunity to grab a hold of him, which I did. Turned him around, and
so you spun him around?
Spun him around, yep. Turned around, did the hokey pokey, that type of thing. But
that's what it's all about.
There you go. No, he started to panic. And
so what did douchebag look like?
He was probably mid to late 40s, stout, stout stature, about 5'10", 5'11", or something like that.
Okay.
Really, really kind of average-looking guy, really.
45-year-old douchebag.
Yeah, 45-year-old douchebag.
Population aging.
Yeah. douchebag owns no age. Yeah. So, but anyway, he obviously has gone to the store to steal stuff. But in his panic, he throws the entire bin that he is carrying full of stuff at me to get away. So he actually only gets away with a couple of pairs of sunglasses that he had shoved into his pocket. No big real deal. But anyway, after throwing the bin at me, he proceeds to try to dive into the driver's side window of the car that he had.
Not he didn't even leave the door open, so he
was he left the door was closed, the window was down, and he first tried to dive into it.
And the car wasn't running.
No, the car was not running.
So he's like an extra from Dukes of Hazzard or something.
Car was not running. Keys were in his pocket. But he tries to dive into the car, misses the first time, and he goes head first into the top of the car. Then he backs up and tries it again.
Oh, God.
This time he gets into...
Now that's comedy.
Yeah. This time he actually gets in through the window. Legs are dangling out. So I grab a hold of the back of his pants and his shoulder, trying to pull him back out of the car.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the other guard that I had called was running up at this point. But I couldn't get a good enough grip on the guy, so I flipped him around inside the car still, basically hitting his head on the...
So he death rolls.
I death rolled him in the car, hitting his head on both the dashboard and the steering wheel.
So Mr. Mayhem is a large aquatic predator. Okay.
Yes, so exactly.
We've established this. Okay.
And after flipping him around... Yes, thank you for that. After flipping him around, I noticed that what he was actually going into the car for was a crowbar, which... it was a crowbar. It was an actual crowbar. It was about 2.5 to 3 feet long. And as soon as I saw this, grabbed his arm, and at this point, I don't know if it was the adrenaline or what, but something was not getting through to this guy, because I literally, when I went and grabbed his arm and twisted it, I felt and heard something crack. enough so that he actually dropped the crowbar. Good so geez. I'm pretty sure I at least broke his wrist.
He was just in disbelief because a contract security guard was actually trying to stop him from doing something.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that shattered reality to a point where he could feel no pain because it wasn't really happening.
Yeah.
This is not happening.
So this ends his part of the stupidity. Now coming into my part of the stupidity.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is a two-part stupidity. The other guard had come over to assist me. We finally got him out of the car after he dropped the crowbar. He was still fighting us. The adrenaline was going. He just did not want to go to jail. He did not want us to put him down. Whatever we tried, it just was not working. He manages to open up the car door and slink into the car, kind of move his way into the car. The entire time, me and the other guard are more or less slamming the door on him, trying to get him to stop. And
so you've got the guy in the door and you're slamming
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, each of us have a piece of the car door, and we're literally slamming the car door into him. And he is in between the car door and the car.
Yeah. Okay, now this is slapstick comedy.
Yes. But he is...
Why didn't somebody tell me we were going to tell this story? I would have brought a kazoo. Yeah.
But he is still not going down. The entire time, he is still not going down. And the last little bit that he finally gets into the car, which is his leg, I literally slammed his ankle in that car door 6 or 7 times.
So you've abused this man.
I have abused this man, especially after the fact that he tried to nail me in the head with a crowbar.
This is the hardest 5 pairs of sunglasses he's ever
tried to steal. Exactly. But no, after the crowbar thing, no, that's personal now. Okay, now I'm going to fuck this guy up, right? So the other guard gets the door open after the guy is in the car, got the keys in the ignition, and tried to start it and stalled it, right? He couldn't get it going all the way, but he's actually lurched forward enough that he's hit the curb now and he can't go forward anymore. The other guard is literally in the guy's lap trying to get the keys out of the ignition.
And I'm telling him what he wants for Christmas.
Exactly.
I
would have paid to have seen that. But no, he's in the guy's lap.
Knowing this particular guy's and an arc welder. Lifetime subscription to Guns and Ammo, even after they stop printing it.
No, but he is in the guy's lap trying to fight him off. He is giving him elbows to the face because this guy is trying to get him out of his car now, trying to get the keys out. He finally gets the car going, throws it into reverse. Driver's side door is wide open. I'm on the phone with 911 at this point, trying to get a response out of these people.
So you had one hand on him, one hand on the phone?
I had one hand on the door, just basically trying to see what the hell the other guard was trying to do at that point, and one hand on my phone. As soon as I heard that car start up, I backed up a bit, but I didn't back up quite quick enough. Car door caught me, so I got pulled under the car door, so I'm holding on to the car door with my left arm and being dragged on my left side while still on the phone with the police.
That must have been a great call.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get that 911.
I'd like to get a transcript of this. Yeah, I'd like to get a transcript of that, too, because I could hear the other guard like screaming at the guy to stop because he could see that I'm being dragged by this freaking car now. He slams on the brakes, throws me into the curb, and the other guard gets out of the car to come check up on me, leaves the guy. I mean, in hindsight, knowing that I'm, you know, more or less fine, but in hindsight, I really wish he would have taken the crowbar and shoved it down the guy's throat.
I think he was more
concerned about me. Okay. So, I mean, fair enough. Knowing that I'm perfectly fine now, I would have rather him do that, but I am actually quite grateful that he did come to check on me. But, no, so there were two parts of stupidity in that. One on the thief for
doing this in the
first
through
place.
All this for a tote full of crap.
Yeah, a tote full of crap. A tote full of crap. There was nothing really there that, you know, maybe would have lasted him a week. If he was especially like a crack addict or something like that, it would last him maybe a week for a crack fix. And then he's got to go through all this again. So you got that part, and you got my stupidity on top of it for actually confronting the guy.
No, I don't think you're stupid. No,
I came around the corner, and you saw a guy coming out with a tote full of crap.
It's your sight.
You're not going to wave at him.
It's your sight. You're responsible for it. That's... Mm-hmm. what unfortunately...
And that's another part of the stupidity. Yeah, is that, you know,
yes, I agree. We are stupid for doing this for a living. But the thing is, part of it is you are contracted to be responsible for the site. So somebody is breaking into something on your site. All those people say, well, you shouldn't be a hero. Fuck that.
If he had just waved at the guy and then took down whatever information he could, he'd be fired. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. Everyone tells us not to be heroes and not to go out and...
And then bitches at us, but we don't do anything about it.
And then if we don't do anything, we just observe and report, we get fired. And it's a double standard for the work.
I don't care. To me, I'm just let's put it this way. If I saw somebody breaking into something anywhere, I would step in. Not because it's my property, but because who the fuck gives them the right to basically steal something that somebody else...
Yeah, the next time they do it, it might be my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Basic courtesy, basic behavior, civics—these things are all dead in the fucking world.
Yeah, but you know me, though. I mean, chasing
down a guy who's just attacked you with a crowbar over 5 pairs of sunglasses is—it's taking it to the extreme. I mean,
I would have liked to have taken the fucking crowbar if I was. I would have liked to or tried to take the crowbar from him and shoved it up his fucking ass sideways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, long story short, go on.
Well, no, that was basically it. I mean, the guy drove off, and after I was thrown from the car, and we got as much information as we possibly could.
So you got the guy's license plate.
License plate, description of the vehicle, description of him.
You got fingerprints.
Fingerprints on him at the scene because he had actually had 2 crowbars, one in the car and then one in the store, which, again, he had dropped in the store. So he was planning on going back probably for it because... Yeah. You know, he was not wearing
any... He probably
just
threw it through the window.
Yeah, more than likely, he just threw it through the window. But he wasn't wearing any gloves at all.
He got a tote out. He got a crowbar out. And then he turned off the car, closed the door to the car, sauntered up to the window, broke the window, and then went in and just, like, threw stuff...
La,
in the
la, 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 la.
Yeah, and he was going to come back out, reopen his door, put the stuff away, and go back for the crowbar. Like...
Yeah.
Fucking casual
it's
shopper.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. It's casual shopping day. Exactly. That's...
Tuesday, Christelle Knott.
Like, I'm sorry, you deserve the broken wrist and the banged up ankle and you are stupid.
That's all that I did to him. I don't know what the other guard actually did to him either because he was pounding on him pretty good too.
Oh,
so
God. And knowing him, he was the guy was probably halfway down the block and he had just appeared in his back seat like.
Wow, why can't I picture that now?
I'm never going to sleep again. You have to see this other guard to understand what we're talking about. but what was your list of injuries? Now, I know you don't know entirely because you've got your doctor's appointment coming up.
Yeah, I got my doctor's appointment coming up. But all I know so far really is there are no broken bones, which is a good thing. But going in for probably an MRI later this week.
Because you're walking with a cane.
Because I'm walking with a cane right now. I've got a pretty locked up knee. The road rash, which is pretty much all up my leg and side, is healing up nicely. Still not gone, but it's healing up nicely.
And this is like 2-3 weeks
ago. This is 2 weeks ago, yeah.
And your shoulder?
My shoulder, basically elaborate on how bad my shoulder actually is. There's actually no damage to the shoulder on the surface. But I went in for an examination, I believe this was 3 days after the initial accident. And the doctor that was examining me was just doing a test on my back and my neck. She, telling me, do you feel this? Yeah, okay, I feel this. But the
Does
entire
it hurt when you do this? Well, then don't do that.
Yeah. Well, so I'm looking
Thank
forward.
Thank you, Henny Youngman.
Yeah. I'm looking forward the entire time. And probably about half a minute or so into the examination, I look over to my left shoulder. And wait a minute, there's a hand on my shoulder. And I asked the doctor, I'm like, how long has your hand been there? It's like, oh, about 20, 30 seconds maybe. Why? Well, because I can't feel it. I don't think this is a good thing. So she's like, okay. So she goes and she's like, look forward again. I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward. And then she took a pen and kind of jabbed me a little bit with it. She says, can you feel that? I'm like, well, I can feel it to the point where you're actually moving me forward. But if you're just, like, touching me lightly with it, no, I cannot feel it.
She's great.
She's like, okay, well, that's when she sent me for the x-rays right away. So, yeah, there's possible nerve damage, soft tissue damage in my shoulder and arm. Like I said, with my knee, I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that yet, but more or less my entire left side is fucked up.
Yay!
Yay! So there. So I've just lost half of my dates for the week. It's horrible. Oh. It's horrible. But thankfully, I have roommates. So.
Yeah.
And everybody in the room knows them too.
Right. That was not a right image.
Okay. Just imagine the pony suit. the mayhem has begun.
Make the badminton go away.
No, you invited them here. Take responsibility.
You let me in.
Yeah, this is like a vampire movie. Don't ever let them in. They never go
away. Someone at the door. There's someone at the door.
All right. My stupid story for the week. Now, though I do admit I have hundreds of really good, stupid stories in my past, I'm going to start off with the most recent one. Worked at the bar last night. Nice, quiet night. It was dead. Apparently, it was not dead everywhere else. One of our other guards who works at one of the other bars that we work for the same company apparently had one of the worst nights he's had in a long time. Three of them got into a fight that was literally had the cops there for half the night. But anyhow, for me, it was a dead night. By the end of the evening, I had about maybe five customers in the entire bar. So it was beautiful. It was one of those great nights that you actually don't mind doing the job. Pack everything up, helping the DJ put her stuff away, going to leave. I hear the sound coming from a tree that is out on our property. It sounds like a couple of gorillas going through it. And I walk around front, see two guys on top of a bus stand. That's one of those overhang-covered bus stands. They're standing on top of it. They have got a hold of limbs. They are ripping them off our chestnut tree and tossing them into the middle of the road.
So you're right. They were gorillas.
Essentially, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Nothing. They just fell down. These weren't even drunks that were in my bar. These were just two idiots that were sitting by the bus station and decided to begin.
Let's climb on top of the bus station and rip limbs off the tree and throw them into traffic.
Yeah.
Because it's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody on the road.
What you do on a Saturday, isn't it?
So I call. I'm like, I just had to call the cops because there was nothing else I can do with these. I said, look, I know this might be, you know, beneath you guys at this time, but given it's a Saturday night, but I've got a couple of guys who are sitting out in front of our property climbing up on top of a bus stand, tearing limbs off our trees. I was like, is it you're on your private property? I said, yeah, it's at the bar here. And they're like, why? And I said, I don't know. They're anti-arborists or something. I don't know. So apparently they hate trees. So, well, are they still there? I said, no. And as soon as I called you guys, they climbed down off the bus stand and are currently walking down the road. So the cops said they would be down in a bit, and I asked them, when are they planning on making stupidity illegal? And at which point they told me, no, they can't because they don't have enough jails to lock everyone up. And that was the end of the conversation. It's not really a big Uncle Dak story, but it's
It is a good example of stupid.
Yeah, yes. It is.
Like, our day-to-day trials and tribulations.
We see stuff like that every day. And there is no explanation for it. This is what's driving us insane.
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone can explain that kind of behavior, we are open to it. We sit around and do nothing but try to contemplate
why
a philosophical reason why this level of stupidity exists.
That is actually what we do for a living. The stuff about preventing theft.
The stuff about
preventing
theft is a sham. We just we're social philosophers writing in a sea of stupid.
Yeah. I actually have a gross hospital story.
You have a gross hospital story? Oh, yeah, that's right. Malcontent used to work in a hospital.
And you know this gross hospital story.
Okay.
It's the license plate number story.
So wait a second. How long did you work at a hospital?
Let's see. it's hard because I've blocked it out so much of it. I think about 4 years.
How many long?
Four years.
don't do that. I've been in this line of work for a long time. And, yeah, that was one of the things that I actually spent a good deal of my working life doing is working at the hospital, and it was actually the most fun I had as a security guard.
Yes,
wrestling the naked insane people. I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody needs a hobby.
No, really. No, seriously.
It was a great exercise. I was in better shape than I've ever been.
If you can take confrontation, if you can take.
Hello, can I take confrontation?
No, I don't mean that.
Well, not with motor vehicles, not with people.
No, if you can actually take confrontation and remain cool and calm during it, if you can take suffering, and if you can take really, really, really gross things, do it for a short period of time. Every man, woman, and child who has the physical ability to do it should actually work in a hospital just for a short period of time. You will see more about human nature than anything else you've ever run into in your entire life. But go on. Okay, so what's your gross hospital story?
Well, it's actually more of a tale of the stupid, but it is gross, and it is a story, and it is in the hospital. So I had just gotten onto work, and I had gotten my GP300 radio. If you've never held one of these, think of the McDonald's drive-thru radio.
Oh.
Cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. No, I don't want it supersized. Yes, I'm now punched in. I honestly don't know what they're saying. I envision my supervisor saying something. I just got on. I just picked up the radio, and I hear over the radio squeaks very much like that. But I'd actually been working by this time long enough that I was able to articulate them into 5155, the supervisor to me, the low ape on the totem pole. Where are you right now? And this is Surrey Memorial Hospital. Right, you go off to the. To your right, and there's a hallway of plaques.
Yes.
Right in from the front door. No, sorry, the left.
Yeah.
The other right! there's a whole hallway full of plaques of people who have been dedicated and things, and it's very, very narrow. Because it was built in a time when people were much more, you know, narrow.
Yeah.
So he asked where I am, and I'm like, I'm in Dedication Alley. The supervisor says, look out. And then the radio goes dead. Look out. What in the world is he talking about? Look out. What in the world could he possibly be? Oh, gee, son of a. I look up from that pummeling, and, you know. This is a good time to mention that I am absolutely an advocate of two-sided hospital gowns. And if you're listening to this and you have a problem with disparaging comments about body image, blow me. Seriously, I could use it.
Oh.
So anyway... conjure up whatever image in your mind that comment gives you. I saw it running very quickly.
So you're saying a big, was it a man, woman?
At this point, I didn't know. It turned out to be a woman, but at this point, I could only go on the facts, just the facts. And, you know, I sort of knew what was going on. It was obviously a fresh psych patient who had escaped from emergency. This isn't really the stupid part. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
I'm usually not run over by them. It's the first time that's ever happened, but... It just goes to show you, look behind you, kids.
Yes.
You never know what you might find in the world around you. So anyway,
same mentality you have in prison. All right.
Yeah. Check your six.
Check your six.
So that the radio comes back to life again.
And Mr. Radio says, did you just see a patient go down the hall by you? I didn't get the number.
They went down the hall over.
Could you please figure out where she went? I think she went towards the lunchroom. I'm very collected. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's a she. I think she went towards the lunchroom. And he goes, oh, well, could you chase her down? I'm not the world's largest gentleman. I'm thinking, okay, I chase her down and what? Hitch a ride to New West or wherever she's going? What exactly is his plan here? So I head down to the cafeteria. It's not far from where I was. And, I see that she's trying to, through sheer force of her might, tear off the sliding glass door that leads out to freedom and also the BC Cancer Association.
Born free.
So she's beating on the sides of aquarium and trying to escape.
I don't have Uncle Dak's level of street-born psychology and socialization. I worked with someone who was very much like that. He had actually taken psychology courses. He wanted to be a member of CSIS and everything. He was incredibly delusional. Contract security is a stepping stone to CSIS.
Obvious. Well, that's why I got into it.
Oh, dear. We'll leave that for another show. We don't want so much with the crying yet. So I call into the supervisor and say, look, I'm going to need at least one person for backup here. I'm not going to chase them down and take them down by myself. And they go, okay, we'll send someone. They send me the junior guard, the guy that they just minted and put into the hospital. He's smaller than I am, and a little bit older in body.
Looks like he fell off a charm bracelet.
Yeah, and in mind,
oh, that's cute.
In mind, I'd say they never let him age. He was probably like kept in a box. God forbid he discovers there's a world out there. To give him another lifesaver.
Yeah. In the cracker jacks next to the whistle. Yeah,
So he's on his way, and I'm like, oh, great. I've got to talk this woman down before he gets here. So I was very proud of myself. I sort of channeled my coworker, who shall remain nameless, just in case he actually got into CSIS. I hate to blow his cover. It would make a very interesting story, but still. So I try to channel this person, and I forget exactly what I said. It was a lot of cliches. I think at one point I mentioned 110%. We got a really great group of guys here. Come
on
in.
It's all about the defense.
I understand.
Win one for the Gipper.
Yep.
We're here for you. It's cold out there. This is like January. It's cold out there. You don't want to go out there. And I managed to get her to stop reefing on the door. And I was starting to walk with this woman back to emergency.
Oh, no.
And I thought, this is great. This is great. I'm actually succeeding at something. They said it couldn't be done. My high school teacher.
Did you use math?
No, I didn't. Believe me, I was trying to stay. I was trying to stay very far away from math at this moment. That would have killed me. So I'm guiding this woman back to. I figured she got out of emergency, so that's where I was going to go.
Yeah.
And that's on the other side of the hospital. That's okay. We're making good, slow progress, and then. Numpty McFucknugget shows up.
Numpty McFucknugget. That is.
I like that, Marta. I'm going to use that.
That is his new name. I can't use his actual name because I figure by now he's married and has six kids.
Why can I see that on
a
t-shirt?
He might actually be listening, he might recognize my distinctive and sexy voice. I don't want his ears to burn. So. Anyway, Numpty comes in, sees me with this woman, and points at woman and says, "There she is! You take uppers, I take lowers!" that sound, by the way, is her hand on my lapel, you know, just in case you didn't get it. Yeah. And it's me, airborne. I've always wondered what it would be like. What it would be like to fly. And I thought it had something to do with happy thoughts. It did not have anything to do with fucking happy thoughts. Let me tell you that, because I'm heading for a landing on top of the table and the chairs, and they're stacked upside down and pointy. And I'm thinking to myself, Numpty, I'll get you. I'll spend the rest of my life getting you. And I'm thinking all of this, you know, at about that speed, because I'm in that part where everything slows down. Yep. You know, just before you get into a car accident, everything goes Matrix on you.
Oh, I know that feeling.
You know, there's pixies around me telling me about my life. there's little scenes showing here and there. My life looks a lot like a junk food commercial. Hershey's should pay me for a living. And so, you know, finally I land, and by this time I'm able to crane my neck and see this person that I had almost managed to calm down and actually get back to where she was supposed to be run through the door, which I mentioned earlier was closed.
She just ran through the glass door.
Yeah. Well, she was in fight or flight mode.
Did it break?
Well, yes.
Did she get cut?
Well, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Mostly on the feet.
Oh, fuck. No, you named him right. Numpty McFucknugget.
And she went off. Of course, you know, that was my observation. You know, there was blood. I'm sure she got cut on the feet. I don't really know, because I never saw her again. She went off into the night.
Rejoined the herd.
You know, there's a pack of coyotes going, the new one is strange. What is she wearing?
To this day, Numpty cries at night thinking about the one that
got away.
No, that was when I was done bashing his neck into the side of the table. You know, the moral of the story is always assess the situation
before opening your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't jump into fights. You know, I mean, that's literally what he did. He said, "I get to take someone down now." The fact that she was 12 times his size and that I was standing next
patient.
To her and she was insane didn't occur to him.
So she's not just a big chick. She's also a big chick with crazy strength.
Yes. And believe me, that is real.
Crazy strength is real.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have been picked up. I think I've told the story in Gross Hospital. I'm not going to repeat it too much, but the large Indian woman, Native Indian woman, who pushed down a steel-reinforced security door by literally pushing it over to the point that it broke out of the concrete it was set into.
Yeah.
She pushed the whole door and door frame down.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do with that? And she turns to me and goes, "I have to go to the bathroom." I just turned and pointed to the bathroom.
It's that way.
That way.
So leave this place.
Yeah, I was dealing with the tick. If you don't know that one, I'm not going to repeat.
Yeah.
Do look it up.
That's as long as she didn't as long as she didn't rip the sink out of the floor and throw it through the window, you know.
Fine. Yeah. Basically, I had one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah.
To cap the stories.
Cap the stories.
Mine.
Mindless and myself.
Yes. This is a co-story. It starts with Dak and ends with both of us lying on the ground.
Yeah. This is a long time ago. This is actually about...
How long ago?
about, what, three... Is this three
How
years?
Long? 3 years?
3 years? 3 years.
Okay, we're getting rhythmic now. Get out a guitar. Ding, 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 ding. Three years ago.
Mindless and I worked on a site. It was a construction site of condos. Townhouses.
Townhouses, yeah.
And this thing was ridiculous.
It's about six blocks square.
Six blocks square.
Had its own streets.
Had its own streets. And they just put two people on it.
I remember that one.
And it was literally, you're walking through a maze of streets that went that did little cul-de-sac turns.
Figure eights.
And it was really easy to get lost in there. So
Dr. Seuss designed it, I think.
Yeah, the whole place was surrounded by this cheap
rent-a-fencing,
which is not even real fence that's set into the ground. It's each of the fence have little legs that stick out so they can stand up on their own, provided that no wind stronger than, say, a light breeze doesn't come along and blow them over. So they're all set up, and this is about maybe 2 in the morning when I hear crash and the sound of a truck motor revving. So I go running out from where I was, turn in, and the rear street, I see this truck all the way at the other end. I'm pulling out my phone to call my partner, so that he can get, because he's got the vehicle, so he can get there and try to cut this person off. When the vehicle turns around and comes screaming up the road at high speed, I'm thinking, son of a bitch is going to try and run me down. So I jump into the ditch when the truck hits its brakes, skids to a stop about maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet from where I was actually standing. So get back up, walk over, go towards the window. Excuse me, what the hell are you doing? And this skinny, long-haired, greasy, skull of a fuck leans out and goes, wasn't trying to steal anything.
Well, we're certainly not criminals anyway. If anything, we are just ordinary British Columbian citizens with no particular interest in property.
I'm like, excuse me? I got lost. Where the hell were you trying to go? Oh, I'm looking for my buddy's house. Why the hell did you smash through the fence? At that point, I literally hear, and he puts it into gear and revs off, goes screaming. Now, he could just go drive right back out through the hole that he's knocked down in the fence, but he doesn't. He turns and goes into the properties. And I'm like, at that point, the phone rings, and I get a call from Mindless.
Hey, Dak, did you hear a bang? I thought I heard a bang.
The key to being a successful security guard is to be observant.
That's in one.
At that point, there was a moment in my own mind that was kind of along the lines of, this shit only happens to me, really. It's just, no one else, just me. I know that's selfish, and I know that's wrong, but really, there's a point where I get that.
Everyone reaches that point
where you think,
I know, I'm at that point.
God really doesn't like me, and I don't know why. So I answer, I've got an idiot. He's drunk, stoned, I don't know what, but he's gone into the property. Get him.
So I'm in my old Jeep Cherokee, and I just like gun it, and I come around the corner, and this truck just right past me, and I'm like, I think that's who Dak's talking about. I pull in behind him, and I literally follow him. Okay, now he's not going too fast. He's maybe going about
30 miles an hour. Which in a cul-de-sac that's still under construction is actually pretty fast for the road.
Yes, well, there's holes in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, foundation holes and stuff. If you go off that road by like 6 inches, you're in someone's basement.
Yeah.
So I'm following this guy, and he's not trying to escape that I can tell, because he's doing figure eights. He's going in circles. He's like backing up and going back down and going around cul-de-sacs. And I'm like, where are you going?
He was looking for the ramp and haystack.
I think he was still looking for his buddy's house. I don't know.
Still looking for his buddy's house.
Maybe, and then I'm thinking, like, well, maybe he doesn't know I'm back here. Maybe he's so strung out he doesn't know anyone's, you know, following him. So I start flashing my lights, my headlights. I just turn them on and off, on and off, on and off.
I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to take you into the mind of a moron here. This...
Wow, it's empty in here.
This...
It's dark. I'm scared.
Probably
the police, because only they can flash lights. Wait, what? Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I start flashing lights, and I become the RCMP, apparently, by doing so. That's all it requires. And
I believe that.
He comes around. He's now on the far corner of the site. Now, there is a gate here, but it's a large, actual metal gate with foundation. Like, it's an actual motorized
gate.
Someone
wants to keep you out of that particular...
Okay, that's an actual entrance.
Yeah.
Okay, so he can't go through that, but there's no wall yet onto the side of the gate. Okay, there's just bare ground. It goes up an embankment, over a sidewalk, and then onto the road. So he's like, aha! I have used my criminal powers of criminality, and I have determined an escape route. And so he goes off-road. And then he goes under the road. Because, see, as soon as he gets onto the dirt, he gets the truck, all four wheels onto the dirt, kind of starts to climb the embankment, and then sinks to his doors in mud. Like, right to the frame. All the wheels are underground. And I pull up, and by this time I'm driving, you know, with one hand, and I'm on the phone with 911, and she's like, "Okay, what did he do?" And I'm like, "Well, he tried to leave the site. He went off road, and he's stuck." And she's like, "Well, what do you mean he's stuck? I mean, he's stuck. Wait. He's trying to go forward. Nope. Okay. Now he's trying to go back.
So he's putting it in forward gear and revving the wheels so that he's not doing anything other than throwing mud." And then he's putting it in reverse and revving the wheels and just throwing mud. And so
he's rocking the truck backwards and forwards. And then he opens the door, okay, looks down, looks back at me, looks down at the ground again, closes the door, and does it all over again.
Hey, Beavis, I think I just figured something out.
Meantime, in China, they're looking at the his wheels coming out of the ground.
But the thing is, the 911 operator goes, "Well, where do you think he's going?" And I'm like, "I think he's going to China." And at this point, I don't think 911 operators are supposed to laugh, but she starts giggling.
Yeah.
And at this point, she's incoherent. Too. And I'm like, I turn into the race car announcer. And he's going forward 1 inch. He's going back 1 inch. He's going forward 1 inch. He's going back 2 inches. He's going forward an inch. He's going down. He's going down, down, down. He's opening the door. He's looking around. He's closing the door. He's going forward an inch.
So this is the best season Ricky's had all season.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, this is the first time that he hasn't been in a major fire explosion.
But the thing is that he's literally digging the truck farther into the ground.
Yeah.
So, and he hasn't decided to run. Like, there's no hope of getting this truck. Like, you're going to need three tow trucks.
Well, he's
to get
seen the John Bunnell show. Don't run.
But he keeps opening the doors, looking how much farther he sank into the mud, and then closing the door again.
So, at this point, I come running up. So my partner is parked back there, and he's just casually on the phone, and I'm like...
I'm leaning against my truck.
I see the truck, and the truck of the individual who's trying to get away, and it is... Now that the truck is in the mud up to the door frame, and the water is above the door frame.
Yeah.
So, and we're talking a good Ford, standard pickup truck. And so we're talking like 2-3 feet.
Yeah.
About 2 feet of tire is buried in the mud.
Yeah, it's 2 feet into the mud.
And about a couple inches into the water. And I'm like...
Why doesn't he run away?
What happened? And he tells me, and I said, "I'm on the phone with the operator." And I said, "Where's he going?" And he's like, "Nowhere." So at that point,
he's been now gunning the engine and sinking into the mud for 10 minutes. Hasn't tried to run. Hasn't tried to escape. He sees both these security guards standing there laughing at him, because we're laughing fully out loud, just standing there laughing at him.
Yeah, he would occasionally stop. He would look back, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to take off, and I'm getting ready because I don't know. It's like the predator prey instinct. If they run, I have to go. It's like, and he would stop, and he would get back in the truck, and he would do it all over again. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is the craziest I've seen.
Yes.
And so at that point, that's when the cop pulls up. Female cop comes up, gets out of the car, hand on her hip on her gun, screams out, "Turn it off! Both hands out the window now!" Not a second of hesitation, just both hands straight out the window. "I'm not doing anything!"
Yes, I can see that. But you were
first piece of truth you've spoken.
"Get the fuck out of the truck now." So he opens the door, and he has to push the door open, and she's screaming at him to keep both hands open while he's doing it, and he can't because he's buried
digging a rivet in the mud as he's trying to push the door open.
And she's
opening the window with his teeth.
So he pushes the door open, he gets out, and she's like, down on the ground now. And he's like,
now
but
what?
It's water. Get down! And he drops to the ground. Hands behind your head, lock your ankles. So she comes over.
So he's drowning.
Literally, his face is underwater now. I'm not kidding.
And I'm still explaining this to the 911 operator, who is now absolutely incoherent.
Yeah, I can actually hear the 911 operator laughing on the phone. And at that point, she starts to handcuff him, and we see this other car pull up, and two scumbag-looking SOBs get out until we both notice that both of them have
badges
hanging from chains around their neck. Turns out they're two undercover narcotics officers who are basically both who are the only ones who can to respond to the call for basically backup.
Yeah.
So they come jumping out, running over. They all grab him. They pick this guy up, and he is tan brown from his head straight down to his feet. The whole front of him is just covered in mud. They're like, so who the hell do we got here?
And then out of the blue, like, the guy just lifts his head, and the cop is immediately, George, you scumbag! Who let you out? George, you're not allowed to drive!
What the hell, George?
What are you thinking? Am I going to find crack, George? Is your pipe in that truck? Are these tools in the back of the truck yours, George? George, I'm disappointed. George, what are you doing?
George, it turns out, about 8 years earlier, he had just got out of jail. He had been in for 8 years. 9 years earlier, George stole a vehicle, was escaping from the police, was in a high-speed pursuit. High on crack, in a high-speed pursuit by the police, ran down and killed a civilian. George has a lifetime ban from driving. George is not supposed to be... He was out that week.
He got out of jail that week.
This is his buddy's truck, which he's stolen. The back is filled with stolen property from, we still don't know how many different sites and different areas.
Yeah, there's an air compressor, a chainsaw.
So stuff from everywhere.
The basics.
He had drugs in his pocket. There was literally a crack pipe on the seat beside him.
He didn't even throw it out the window. I mean, he was digging his way to China. It's like throwing some shit out the windows, at least.
Anything he threw into that mud, they would have never found.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, and the cops are like,
George!
They recognize him on site. They're like, hey, George, you're going back to jail, right? You know that, right?
I know.
And at this point...
What's he supposed to say?
At this point, the 911 operator's like, I'm going to hang up now. I got to go. And she hangs up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And so I've taken a knee. I've actually taken a knee because I'm laughing so hard I can't stand. And the cops then notice us in the distance.
Yeah.
Laughing.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't, like, we were screaming.
I'm leaning over the hood of his Jeep, and I'm pounding on it, on the hood of his Jeep, just crying. I have tears rolling down my cheeks. This is the worst I've ever seen. This is the dumbest idiot I've ever seen. This is beyond just normal dumb criminals. This guy takes the cake 100%.
And, I mean, when they took our statements, they were face-palming the entire time.
Yeah,
What? He did what?
He tried to do, and they asked me, did he try to run you down? I said, well, technically he would have stopped a half a foot before he got to me, but I dove into the gutter beside because I didn't really trust him.
Yeah.
This guy thought he could leave the country using the most direct route possible.
And so that is the stupid. That's the king stupid of the night.
Let's crown George king stupid.
Oh, of the night. Definitely. So remember, George is a scumbag. Oh, Jesus.
God, that's it. I think that's
the note to end this on.
Yes. I believe so. Yep. I think we're done.
It could only
get
worse from here.
We've got plenty more. Don't worry,
ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Don't worry.
But we have to do this again, so we have to conserve some of our energy.
Yes. So we can only expend so much stupid in a little room like this.
So next week we will have more tales of stupid.
Next month.
Yeah, next show.
Only once a month here.
Next show. Yeah, we'll just say next.
We don't get that many days off.
Yes. Damn. Next show, we will do this again, and we hope that you tune in. We hope that you like us. Next time, we will try to have at least a channel available so that somebody can get a hold of us and give us a little feedback of what you think.
Yeah, well, we'll get a web address set up, and people can actually, you know, our two fans can talk yes. to each other and send us something.
But please no pictures. Well, we've had bad experiences with that already.
Yeah. And make the nicknames creative. I don't want to see any numbers.
Yeah, no Susie 123. Yeah,
if 2,999 people got to it before you, it wasn't that clever. Sorry.
Oh, jeez.
All right. On that note, boys and girls, tune in next time when you'll hear somebody say, basically.
Somebody? I don't think it's a mystery.
And okay, I have no idea what to push to turn this off.
So. Okay.
Welcome to the extended Tales of the Stupid, where we demonstrate how eminently qualified we are by failing to turn the recording device off. We've just talked about stupid people. Now you can talk about us.
Okay, that's a stop. Yeah.